Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, Minister Roderick O'Gorman on housing refugees this winter and what he plans to do next on childcare costs. Gerry Creighton spent years as a keeper with Dublin Zoo. He'll tell us why he's working now to improve the lives of elephants right around the world. Growing calls for vapes to be banned. How are other countries dealing with the problem? And the FAI faces the media for the first time since they opted not to renew Vera Powell's contract. We're also keeping a close eye on the ECB today. Another rate rise is expected, and the joy of blackberries. Cathy Donaghy takes us on a trip down a country lane to pick the best fruit of the season. Our text number is 51551. You can also email the programme todaycb@rte.ie. Now, an investigation team from the Dubai Police is set to travel to Ireland to help bring down the Kinahan organised crime gang. It follows Garda Commissioner Drew Harris's recent trip to Dubai, which was made to develop the Garda's relationship with police there around the sharing of intelligence and evidence, which he says will hopefully dismantle the whole crime gang. For the latest, I'm joined on the line by Nicola Tallant, investigations editor at the Sunday World.
Morning, Claire.
So this is an unprecedented move, isn't it? And does it mean that the net really is closing in on the Kinahan organised crime gang?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's kind of peculiar, and it if you sort of unravel it a little bit, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense. What's been said is that the police from Dubai are coming to Ireland to help in the investigation into the Kinahan organisation. Now, the fact is, the Garda file, the vast Garda file, which has taken years to complete, is currently with the Director of Public Prosecutions. So that means the investigation into the Kinahan organisation is complete as far as the Gardaí are concerned. And also, the Kinahan organisation are based in Dubai. So it would make more sense, really, for the Gardaí to go out there to help if the police in the Emirates were interested in investigating them. So I think this is possibly, and maybe I'm just an old cynic, but it looks a little bit of spin to me. The fact of the matter is, the Commissioner is under a lot of pressure at the moment. There's been a vote of no confidence in him, historic vote. And he has travelled to the Emirates for the first time since this investigation began. I think possibly there is talk of maybe a visit, but this is politics. This isn't proper down-on-the-ground investigation into a criminal organisation.
But he has to find a way to work with the UAE on this, because there's no formal extradition agreement with that place. So what else do you do other than develop this relationship in the hope that it leads somewhere?
Well, I mean, look, that work has been ongoing for years. I mean, the Gardaí have been out in Dubai a number of times over the past 7 years since the investigation into the Kinahan organisation commenced. They have met with police out there before. I think the stark fact for me after this visit, after this trip, and the fact that there's no chat around it, is that Sean McGovern is wanted in this country. There is a murder charge pending for him in the Special Criminal Court. Sean McGovern is openly living in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai, and nothing has been done since April of 2022 when that arrest warrant was issued about him. So for me, that is the most stark kind of, if you look at the situation and you wonder how the police in Dubai are, and the kind of the higher authorities really look at Ireland. I mean, we're small fry. We are still small fry. And they're spinning hard on the international stage as well to improve their financial reputation.
Yeah, I just saw a line in the Irish Independent on this, which is interesting. It talks about the fact that there's no formal extradition agreement, and then says senior criminals have previously been removed from the Emirate to countries where they're facing trial. So that's in the absence of extradition agreements, that perhaps you can get to a point where it happens outside of the rules.
Well, 100%. I mean, there's loads of them being sent back, and there's loads of, you know, Dubai is sort of like the new Costa. They've all washed up there from all over the world, and we've seen extraditions to Australia, to the Netherlands, to the UK. So basically, yes, it operates on a kind of a non-scripted way. We couldn't have an extradition treaty with the Emirates because we don't agree with some of their laws. And they no doubt don't agree with some of ours. But the fact of the matter is they do send people back to their countries when they're wanted. The relationship with the Kinahan organisation is well documented. They are very, very well connected out there. And they have been. And that has been documented by the fact that they have been sanctioned by the US Treasury, that they have been named, and that the information is wanted around their financial arrangements, which have all been centred on Dubai since 2016. Daniel Kinahan himself has been photographed with people of influence out in the Emirates. Both himself and his brother in 2016, when they went to Dubai, were allowed to set up numerous companies and were deemed low risk, despite the fact that they were, at that stage, running really from the Europeans. So, you know, you're dealing with a territory that wants to play by the rules, but is kind of getting there. And it's all down to this with the Emirates. It's down to the Financial Action Task Force, which in March of 2022 placed them on a grey list. And they've been working ever since to get off that grey list and to kind of get closer to international expectations. But just wonder where Ireland is on that list.
I understand your cynicism around what we're being told about the visits from either side. But do you think that there is some merit in relationship building here between the two forces at all?
Well, look, the Italians had to send their justice minister out in order to return Raffaele Imperiale, who was actually supposed to be serving a sentence in Italy. There's no doubt that this happens at a political level in the end of the day. But of course there's merit in building up relations. I just am slightly cynical as regards the idea that the police from Dubai are coming here to help the Gardaí investigate the Kinahan organisation. It makes no sense to me.
That's Nicola Tallant there from the Sunday World. Now, members of the sports media are assembling at the Football Association of Ireland headquarters in Abbottstown this morning as FAI Chief Executive Jonathan Hill and the Director of Football Mark Canham are expected to address issues relating to the allegations made by former Ireland women's manager Vera Powell, where she criticised the FAI and also claimed that some of her staff turned on her in the final weeks of her tenure as her contract wasn't renewed. Of course, the future of Stephen Kenny as Ireland manager will also be on the agenda there today. I'm joined on the line by David Snaid, soccer correspondent at the42.ie, who's there and waiting for that press conference to begin. Good morning, David.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. This is the first chance that you and your colleagues have had to hear the FAI's side of the story here. Do you expect them to address the allegations made by Vera Powell firstly?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I suppose now, what time is it now? Just after 10 past 10 in about 20 minutes. You've already mentioned it there, CEO Jonathan Hill. He'll be reading out a pre-prepared statement for the guts of about 10 minutes, just to kind of go through the events of the last couple of weeks. I would imagine dealing predominantly with Vera Powell and the fallout to the fact that she didn't get that contract. Obviously, there's going to be questions regarding Stephen Kenny's future, but yeah, like the FAI has been silent really over the last couple of weeks since the board kind of made the decision almost unanimously. I think it was 10-1 in terms of the 11-person board not to offer Vera Powell a new contract, having obviously qualified for the World Cup. Vera Powell was the one who went and filled that vacuum. She obviously gave that lengthy interview to your colleague Tony O'Donoghue and laid out some of those kind of issues she had. The fact that she said that she felt that the actual review of the World Cup had been predetermined. She kind of questioned some of the people. She didn't name anybody, but she questioned people high up. I'm guessing people who we're going to be speaking to later on about their abilities to be actually carrying out this report. And that's basically filled a vacuum, and that's kind of put the FAI in the back foot, because the fact was this was a press conference that was penciled in on the back of all this. Then you have the fallout to what's happened over the last week or so with the men's national team. And then you've now got a situation whereby some pretty serious accusations and that have been levelled at the FAI is now going to be rolled up into the future of the men's team manager as well.
Okay, so we have that issue at which you expect to be addressed, Vera Powell and everything that she has said, and the decision not to renew her contract. That's one part of it. Then you also mentioned the future of Stephen Kenny, and Jonathan Hill will of course be asked about that today. Are there any indications, David, any signs around what stance the FAI will take when it comes to answering that question?
Well, this is where it could be forged a little bit. This is where maybe the the lines could be blurred, because all the information that is being delivered to journalists, and obviously we've all been speaking to people to find out what the situation is here, the sense is that the FAI have made the decision in terms of Stephen Kenny's future that he will not be getting a new contract. The only debate seems to be in terms of where there isn't a consensus is, do they leave him in charge for the remainder of this European qualifiers campaign, 3 games to go, or do they try and make the decision now and cut ties? Seems really unfair to even have to be speaking about this when that decision hasn't been made, but that's just the nature of where we're at because of that. And the issue that the reason why maybe those lines are blurred is because the FAI really can't afford to be making the decision of actually removing a manager when they haven't got the person lined up. Like, if they don't know who they actually want to replace Stephen Kenny and have that plan, that's the reason why they have to obviously take their time and determine what to do next.
Yeah, is there any chance, though, that they might have a plan? They might have somebody, and would that change things?
Well, you would think that they would have a plan. They do have a plan. The clear sense seems to be that the main kind of candidate they want to try and replace Stephen Kenny is Lee Carsley, obviously a former Ireland international. He's currently on a rolling contract with the English FA as their under-21 manager. He's been extremely successful with a seriously impressive crop of players. They won the European under-21 championships recently as well. They've just started. This is where, again, the lines get blurred. They have just started a new qualifying campaign this week. They got off to a win. So that is one of the issues here that's going to have to be addressed here, is the fact that, well, hold on, we're getting sounding that X, Y and Z is going to be happening. But unless there's actual focus here from the FAI of what they want to do next, that's when, again, it just feels as if, similar to what happened after the Vera Pell decision when they made that call, unless they come out and give clear, concise reasons, well, this is why we did it, this is the plan, that's now what they have to do on both sides. Yeah. And that's, in general, we're talking about the two figures of, say, the men's and the senior women's team manager here. But there's also the point of, like, it was 3 months ago when the FA were talking about their infrastructure plan. Mark Cannon, who is the director of football, has been working for over the last year on the players' pathway plan. Like, they're much bigger issues, really big issues for Irish football that need to be addressed. And these are just two side effects of it.
Yeah, because what they're trying to do is build so that in time we won't be in this situation when we're on the losing side. But just looking at Lee Carsley, like, he's working in a system where they've sorted out these problems and he's working with a really successful under-21 team. So why would he want to come back here right now?
Well, that's one of the questions. Like, well, at the moment, why are you thinking, well, like, why would you at the moment? You know what I mean? It's like, in Irish football compared to English football, and the work that has gone in and the investment that has gone in and the planning that's gone in with the English FA and their setup, obviously with St. George's Park, but even how they have overhauled their national sides. Like, over the last couple of years, Lee Carsley has been integral to that. And he's also a key, people forget, like, he's a key person in that organisation. Obviously, Gareth Southgate, their senior manager, has had tremendous success. But the English FA are at a point now where they're no longer the ones going, right, well, we're going to try and pick, like they did previously with big names like Fabio Capello and the like, try and get a big manager from outside. They're very much working from within. That's their whole modus operandi now. So that's something that's going to be on Lee Carsley's play here, because he will, without a doubt, if he continues having success and because of the work he's done within that organisation, be in the frame for when Gareth Southgate eventually is.
David, I'm watching the clock for you here because you have to get inside that room at the FAI and get your place for that press conference, which will be starting shortly. And if there's any big news from it, we'll certainly bring it to you here. But for now, David Snaid from the42.ie, thank you for talking to us. Coming up next, we'll be discussing RTE.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.